There is a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, and it lies between the pit of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. This is the dimension of imagination. It is an area which we call the Twilight Zone.
Two men stand behind a chain-link fence.
The blasting area will be cleared by 0200. Repeat, the blasting area will be cleared by 0200.
A rocket ship stands on a launch pad.
It's an odd way to spend the last night, isn't it?
Odd?
Well, last night on Earth you don't spend looking at your transportation. Last night on Earth you spend enjoying Earth. You walk its streets, go in its bars, dance with its women. That's going to be our world for a long time, Sam. And yet we stand out here watching her just 3 hours before we take off.
Moccasin? Are you afraid?
I don't think so. Are you?
I am. Very. It's different with you. You're trained for it. It's not the same with me. I'm a scientist, a biologist. My world is one of books and slides and microscopes. I'm being sent up there because they need my mind. And it's a pity they can't just send that. Leave the body back here where it belongs. Just send the mind. Oh, I am frightened. I'm frightened of what we'll find up there.
Well, that's the one thing you shouldn't be frightened of. Well, the unknown, sure. The loneliness, the silence. That should scare anybody. But I've got a philosophy about people. I mean all people, Sam. They're the same all over. Well, I'm sure that when God made human beings, he developed them from a fixed formula. They'd be the same here on Earth as in the furthest reaches of space.
People on Mars.
Wherever they're able to exist, they'd be the same.
You're looking at a species of flimsy little two-legged animal with extremely small heads, whose name is Man. Warren Moccasin, age 35. Samuel A. Conrad, age 31.
Hey, let's get ready, Sam. We've only got a couple of hours.
They're taking a highway into space. Man unshackling himself and sending his tiny groping fingers up into the unknown. Their destination is Mars. And in just a moment, we'll land there with them.
The rocket ship ascends into the sky. The ship heads towards Mars. Approaches the planet. In a burst of flames, the ship crash lands sideways, with debris strewn here and there about the cabin. Sam pulls himself right side up.
Moccasin.
Unbuckles his seatbelt and gropes for footholds and handholds.
Moccasin, are you all right?
Looks around the cabin. Sees Moccasin's arm extending from underneath some collapsed rubble. He pulls up the rubble. Unbuckles Moccasin's seatbelt pushes the seat aside. Turns Marcuson over. Raises his eyelid. Takes his pulse. Climbs across the cabin to a storage compartment. Takes out a first aid kit. Opens it. Takes out a syringe. Fills it. Injects it into Marcuson's arm. Marcuson comes too.
Marcuson.
Any landing you can walk away from, remember? What about the ship?
Oh, the air pressure seems to be holding up. I got the lights running. I haven't had time to check anything else. Huh? You rest for a while. There's plenty of time.
Plenty of time? All right. All right, we'll see.
Marcuson's head falls to one side. Sam holds his ear against the hatch.
Sam?
Marcuson struggles to get up.
Sam! How long did I sleep?
A couple of hours. You needed it.
Conrad. Well, let's plant the flag.
But you take it easy. There's plenty of time.
We've come 35 million miles.
So another few hours won't make any difference.
Marcuson hobbles across the cabin. Reaches the hatch.
You won't be able to open it. The hydraulics are.
Put her on the auxiliary then. We can open it.
No, we can't.
I'll fix it. I'll put her on the auxiliary. Then we can open her up. That's what I'll do now. I'll hook her up.
Marcuson gets up.
Marcuson.
But then stumbles.
I have to take it easy.
Open the door, Conrad.
I've already told you that door.
You're a liar. You can open the door. Why, Sam? Why won't you open the door?
I don't want to open it.
Why not?
Because.
Whatever happened to the inquiring scientific mind, Conrad? I thought you brought that along. Why did you come along anyway? Look, I want out. I want you to open the door now. You can lock it behind me. Just help me up. That's all I ask. Please, help me up.
Sam goes around and lifts Marcuson's arm, but he falls down again.
Sam, I'm busted up inside. I think I'm bleeding in there. Listen, Sam, I don't want to die in here. I want to see what I'm dying for. Take me out, will you? Take me out.
Mark, please,
Don't be afraid, Sam. I get a strange hunch. If there's anybody out there, they'll help you. As long as they've got minds and hearts, that means they've got souls. That makes them people. And people are alike. They're bound to be alive.
Markison falls over.
God, sake, don't leave me alone, Mark. Don't leave me alone.
You said whatever is out there is just like us. Well, I don't know that. What I don't want to know. I don't want to know. I don't want to know. I don't want to know.
The hatch slowly slides open. Sam opens a compartment and gets out a gun. Sits down and watches as the hatch opens wider. Sam climbs up to the opened hatch, holding his gun. Outside, a crowd of people stand facing the spaceship. Sam climbs out of the hatch. He steps out onto the rocky ground. One of the Martian people approaches him, takes the gun out of his hand, shows it to another man, and tosses it onto the ground. A woman comes up and stands next to the two men.
Your people.
You're just like I am. Face, body, everything. You're just like I am! Oh, Lord, forgive me. Don't be frightened. My name is Sam Conrad. Samuel Conrad. Oh, that name, understand? My friend and I, we came here from the Earth. Look, I'll show you.
Drawing in the dirt.
This is the Earth. We are the third planet from the sun. This is you. Where I come from, this planet is called Mars.
The other one is dead.
Don't be alarmed, Mr. Conrad. We don't intend to harm you either. We've been wondering when you plan to come out. We've been waiting for hours.
How do you know my language?
We don't, Mr. Conrad. As you'll no doubt soon realize, you are speaking our language.
Your language?
Unconscious transference. You'd call it hypnosis of a sort.
But you must be tired. We'll prepare a place for you to rest.
I'm appreciative, I really am. You'll forgive me. My staring, I mean, I just can't get over it. I mean, you're human beings, just like I am. People. Markison said you would be. Markison.
He looks inside the spaceship.
Mr. Conrad, we'll bury your friend for you. Later on, you can tell us what kind of marker you'd like.
Several Martians enter the spaceship.
We'll repair your ship for you, too.
Thank you.
They pull Markison's body out.
You were right, old friend. They are people, just like us. I wish you'd live to see that.
With tears in his eyes, he looks at the female Martian, and she looks back at him. Later, in the spaceship.
There are so many questions I want to ask you. So many things I want to know about your civilization, your social structure, the way you live, your science. Oh, 100 questions, 1,000 questions.
We'll answer all your questions, Mr. Conrad. But first, you must rest here for a while we prepare a place for you, a place you'll feel familiar in. We'll be back soon.
He goes out.
Miss.
She looks at him.
You do have a name, don't you?
I'm called Tinya.
Well, Tinya, will you tell the others how very appreciative I am? I was so frightened, so miserably
don't
frightened.
Don't be frightened, Mr. Conrad. No one will hurt you. No one will hurt you. You must believe that.
Thank you, Tinya. Thank you.
I'll see you later, Mr. Conrad.
She goes out. He looks out the hatch at her, and she turns back to look at him. The hatch starts to close, and then opens again. Later, he climbs out the hatch as several Martians approach.
Good morning.
Rest well, Mr. Conrad?
Long and well. May I see your city now, the rest of your people?
Very soon. First, we have a surprise for you. Oh, a very pleasant surprise.
Really?
Would you accompany us, please?
Well, of course. Where are we going?
That's the surprise, Mr. Conrad.
He turns and looks at Tinya.
Are you coming?
Yes, I will come.
They all walk together. They take him to a furnished apartment with a desk, telephone, lamps, bookshelves, drapes, etc.
Is this a Martian house? Is this the way you live?
Oh, no. Ours are considerably different. We built this during the night because we assumed this is the way you people live.
Oh, it's a perfect replica. Perfect.
The Martians smile at each other, except for Tinya. He walks over to a wooden cabinet.
A television set. The furniture, drapes, everything. How could you build it so quickly? How could you possibly know?
From your mind. You think very clearly, Mr. Conrad. Very clearly indeed. Very strong impression. Would you care to see the rest of the house?
Uh-huh.
Past a fireplace, bar, through a dining room, to an eaten kitchen with a gas stove. Sam looks around the kitchen, then walks back to the dining room.
Fabulous. It's really fabulous.
Well, we wanted you to feel at home, Mr. Conrad. Do you? Do you feel at home?
It's unbelievable. Thank you.
We were wondering if you'd mind remaining here for a little while. You expressed an interest in seeing our city, meeting our people. We'll go out and arrange that.
That's wonderful. You want me to stay here?
You mind?
I'd be delighted.
Good. For a little while, then. Enjoy yourself, Mr. Conrad. Enjoy your house.
Oh, let me show you out. After all, it is my house.
He walks ahead of them to the door. Two of the men exchange a congratulatory hand clasp. The Martians walk out the door.
Tinya. I will see you again, won't I?
Of course you will, Mr. Conrad.
They walk out. Sam closes the door. With a brief look of puzzlement, he goes to the doorknob, then hesitates and leaves the door closed. Goes to the bar and pours himself a drink. Checks the ice bucket, finds it already stocked. mixes the drink with his finger, then dabs each earlobe. Bottoms up.
If it's an illusion, a guy can live with it. That's the best scotch I ever drank.
In the kitchen, he takes out a cigarette, then heads over to the stove, lights the cigarette from the stove. Another sip of scotch. Over to the sink, adds water to his glass. Looks at the blank wall over the sink. Tries the door to a pantry. It does not open. He runs through the apartment to the front door. It too is locked. Another door from the entrance hall. No dice.
Hey! You locked me in! What's the matter with you people?
Back to the front door.
I'm locked in! What's wrong?
He looks behind the drapes. Pulls at the cord and it breaks. Tries to open the drapes, then just pulls them down, revealing no windows, just a blank wall.
There aren't any windows. There aren't any windows anywhere.
He turns and looks, and the wall slides open, revealing metal bars behind which a crowd of Martians stands, looking in.
Why are you doing this?
Approaching the bars.
Why?
The crowd steps back.
Why have you locked me in here? Why are you looking at me like that?
He looks down. A sign in front of the bars reads, Earth Creature, in his native habitat. He reaches through the bars, picks up the sign, turns it around towards him. Looks out at the crowd in horror. Amidst the crowd, he spots Tina. She turns around and walks off.
Markison!
He grasped the bars.
Markison, you are right!
Leans his head against the bars.
You were right. People are alike. People are alike everywhere.
Species of animal brought back alive. Interesting similarity in physical characteristics to human beings. In head, trunk, arms, legs, hands, feet. Very tiny, undeveloped brain. Comes from primitive planet named Earth. Calls himself Samuel Conrad. And he will remain here in his cage with the running water and the electricity and the central heat as long as he lives. Samuel Conrad has found the Twilight Zone.
Credits. Directed by Mitchell Lyson. Written by Rod Serling. Based on a short story by Paul Fairman. Produced by Buck Houghton. Executive producer for Cayuga Productions, Rod Serling. Starring Roddy McDowell. With Susan Oliver, Paul Comey, Byron Morrow, Vic Perrin, Vernon Gray. Director of Photography, George D. Clemens. Production Manager, Ralph W. Nelson. Art Directors, George W. Davis, William Ferrari. Assistant Director, Edward Denault. Casting, Mildred Goose. Film Editor, Fred McGuire. Set Decorations, Henry Grace, Rudy Butler. Sound, Frank Milton, Philip Mitchell. Animated Title by UPA. Copyright 1959 by Cayuga Productions, Inc. Filmed at Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer Studios. Audio Description by Lou Lasher.